talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT.
All righty then. Folks, the coup is underway. What are you talking about, Timbo? Well, you might remember back in 2020 that we were, and I wasn't the only one talking about this, there were a lot of us, that Joe Biden was not going to last out his term of office. And we're not going to call it his first term because there will be no second term. We knew that in 2020, right? He didn't win the election in 2020. He was selected and installed. We all know it, as Patrick Byrne has said, the conversation of whether they cheated is over. There's proof positive that they did and that it was sufficient. Because remember what their line of argument was. There was no cheating. Then when prevented with incontrovertible evidence that there was cheating, they said it wasn't widespread. Then when presented with incontrovertible evidence that it was widespread, they said it wasn't enough to change the outcome of the election. Then when presented with incontrovertible evidence that it was more than enough to change the outcome of the election, their response was, look, squirrel. So we knew that Joe wasn't going to last the entire term, right? Setting the stage for Camel Toe to be the first woman president. First woman president of color. And, you know, I love these interviews. Why do you like Kamala Harris? Because she's black, except she's really Indian, right? And the lies that they perpetrate with a straight face. These people will look you dead in the eye, lie to you, and then call you a racist if you challenge them on their lies. When she comes out and says that she has fond memories of celebrating Kwanzaa as a child, Kwanzaa wasn't invented when Kamala was a child. Or it was just invented. She grew up in an Indian household, like Indian. Dot, not feather. Not American Indian, Indian, which is a beautiful tradition. It's a wonderful culture, one of the greatest cultures on the history of the planet. Why isn't she celebrating that culture? Why isn't she celebrated as the first Indian American vice president? So, she can't pull 1% in the Democrat primaries in 2020. Democrats hate her. Why? Because she's an insufferable moron who owes her political career to the benefits she provided to San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown. She became attorney general. Now she's vice president, right? So they're going to slide her in as the first woman vice president, first woman of color, and the whole, all the stuff, right? All the nonsense. But she's not going to be the nominee in 2024. You can bank it. Why? Because even Democrats hate her. They hate her. She's one of the most unlikable people ever to hold high office. And that includes Hillary Clinton. Hillary, at least, got the suburban white lunatic leftist fuzzy-headed women to like her, right? But she pandered like crazy. Hot sauce in the purse and I ain't no ways tired to the black church and, you know, just total pandering. The goal all along has been to get Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi's godson, as president. And that's what's going on. Look, just and I have to explain, I know I have to go A to B to C to D to E, and my mind kind of goes A to J to R to Z. Here's the timeline. November 2nd, they discover the documents. The election's November 8th, so they keep their mouth shut for a week because they don't want to influence the election. They know that they're going to lose the House of Representatives at least. They know that hearings are coming, right? They know that with subpoena power, these documents are going to be discovered. Why? Because people aren't willing to go to jail for Joe Biden. They were willing to go to jail for the Clintons because the Clintons would kill you, allegedly. Not willing to go to jail for Joe Biden. So it's like, okay, we got to do something. Okay, here's the plan. We're going to release them in January after the new Congress is seated. And we're going to release them in such a way that instead of them being subpoenaed by Congress and pulled out like you're pulling teeth, like that mean old Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, no. We're going to voluntarily turn these over and say, hey, just a heads up, found these documents. Didn't know they were there. Don't think we're supposed to have them. We're doing everything above board and by the book, because that was the original narrative, remember? Above board and by the book. Well, that was the original narrative to say that Donald Trump was worse because Donald Trump didn't voluntarily turn them over. But now we've got Moore in a private office, and now we've got him in his garage in Delaware next to his Corvette. Okay, this is a takedown of Joe Biden by the Democrat Party. That's exactly what this is. And don't be fooled by, well, a special prosecutor is a Republican. No, he was Rosenstein and Chris Wray's law partner. Okay, so don't get all excited that, he was law partners with Chris Wray and he was Rod Rosenstein's top lieutenant. Okay, so don't get all excited that a Republican has been nominated to look into this. This is a takedown of Joe Biden. And what they're going to do, Joe is going to be repentant and resign. And then they're going to call for the disqualification of Donald Trump. Well, Joe resigned. Joe had confidential papers and he did the right thing and resigned. So Donald Trump, you need to do the right thing and not run for office in 2024. This is all about getting Trump not to be able to run in 24 and installing Gavin Newsom as president. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning.
Keeping you updated on the latest.
In the car while I'm driving home.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Very excited to have my guest tonight, Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, who is a psychologist that I have so many questions for. He is one of the good guys. He is an MD, so really he's a psychiatrist. I'm sorry, I misspoke when I called you a psychologist, Dr. Kaufman. You're a psychiatrist. He got his psychiatric training at Duke University Medical Center. After being graduated from the Medical University of South Carolina, following his bachelor's in science in molecular biology from MIT, he's conducted and published original research, lectured, supervised, and mentored medical students, residents, and fellows, and all psychiatric specialists. He's been qualified as an expert witness in local, state, and federal courts. His credentials are unimpeachable. And Dr. Kaufman has some very interesting things to tell us about COVID-19. Dr. Kaufman, welcome to The Reckoning.
Thank you so much for having me, Timothy.
My first question, my background's in biology. I was in a doctoral program in biology and a PhD program. I saw where science was headed. I saw where the academy was headed. And I decided that wasn't the life for me to be begging for grant money from people whose values I really didn't want to be pushing. And I had that remarkable flash of insight when I was 22 years old, after having been waitlisted at Georgetown and New York Medical School. So you made it that extra rung up the ladder than I. But I saw what was coming with all the woke nonsense, because back then it was South Africa. Remember, in the mid 80s, it was all about divestment from South Africa. And I saw what was going on in the university at large, and I saw what was going on in the biology department. And I looked ahead and I was talking with some research scientists lamenting the fact that they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They had to do what their grants funded. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be doing this for the rest of my life. And I went into business, went into the computer software industry. But my biology training has stood me well, because as soon as they start talking about these R-naught values with COVID, it's like, what are they talking about? They have no idea what the R-naught value is, the transmissibility, because they have no idea how many people have been exposed. There's no test for it. So they don't know what the denominator is. So there's no way they can be calculating these R-naught values. It's all BS. And I was calling it out all the way along the line. And eventually, once they started with the masquerade, just weeks after Fauci said masks don't work, because masks don't work to stop an airborne virus, I started calling it mass psychosis. And then we hear this new term, mass formation psychosis. So I've looked into a little bit of this, but I'm not the expert and you are. Can you explain what mass formation is and what mass formation psychosis is? Because they're a little bit different terms of art, aren't they?
Well, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of different ways of looking at this. And I think to get a historical perspective, we need to even include Sigmund Freud, Edward Bernays, and certainly a psychiatrist.
Freud's nephew.
That's right. And a very important psychiatrist who was in Germany at the time the Nazis were in power, and actually was, I believe, interrogated and incarcerated by Nazis before he went to New York to practice as a psychiatrist. And his name is Joost Merleau. And he wrote about this, you know, back in a previous generation. And then we have, of course, various writers who have been talking about this in the context of the present. But what we're really referring to here is creating the belief in the masses around an identity to facts that don't exist in reality. And
that's the mass formation.
That's exactly correct. And, you know, you can look at this in a lot of ways, because this maybe you could interpret some religious movements in this way from the past. But we're in a unique point in history because we have this pervasive technology that everyone is seemingly addicted to and carrying around on their person all times. And it really allows the information to spread around that would lead to this type of situation quite readily.
And that's where the psychosis aspect comes in, because you've got this mass has been formed, this mass of humanity, and now they're being propagandized by our own government, as it turns out, thanks to the repeal of the Smith-Mundt Act and the establishment of the Global Engagement Center at the Department of State. You've got people getting propaganda, steady streams of propaganda on their television, on their radio, and on their cell phones, and they're being gaslit, which is another term of art, to believing something that isn't true. And where does the psychosis part come in?
Well, the psychosis really is the departure from reality. So when you strongly believe and embody the whole experience, including the emotional response to information that's not part of actual reality, that is the psychosis. So for example, the belief that there is a dangerous entity out there causing a new disease is the nature of the delusion in this case, the fixed false belief, because there's actually no evidence in nature of such a phenomenon occurring. It's something that's simply been manufactured through a very sophisticated public relations campaign that not only has been allowed to be formulated by governments, by, you know, eliminating the protections of the citizen, but also through, you know, purposeful planning. So, for example, in the United Kingdom's government, they had a group, I think it's called the SPB, but it's essentially a group of psychologists that were commissioned by the government to come up with ways to manipulate the messaging or the population in order to bring about compliance with government rules. And they made recommendations, like, for example, one is to create fear. So when they used false computer models like Neil Ferguson presented as a scientific prediction, use that to generate fear in the population so that the people under fear are now very much more vulnerable to believing something that's not true, because the government can come in as a rescuing force and give the answer, right? This is related to also the Hegelian dialectic, right? Where there's a essentially a predetermined solution and then a false flag operation to generate a reason to bring about that pre-planned solution as a response that the public would accept, like with 9/11, for example, bringing about...
Yeah, I want to get in. You just said something really important to me, which is false flag. I want to get into that after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Joe Hoft.
We're seeing Brazil go through the same experience that the U.S. did. I saw a great piece this morning coming out of Brazil, and they show this picture, and you can see this event for Lula, the radical socialist former criminal behind bars who was let out by communists that took over their Supreme Court, who've really, through strict and absolute fascism, have shut down that country. They've done a massive takeover of Brazil. It's now becoming socialist, not due to the people wanting it, but due to the communists taking it over and doing so. We're one step away of communism worldwide. We're one step away, and that's where we are today. And if you think things are easy now or hard now, you wait. You wait till these communists take over. You say one thing out of line. You look bad one way. Your picture will be everywhere. Somebody just doesn't have to like you, and you're gone. You will be gone. Life means nothing to these people. It's nothing. Humans are just things that need to be used to make these elites' lives better.
Joe Hoft on TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds. And they do it by the types of hosts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis. By suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom, today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Dr. Kaufman, you just said two of the magic words, false flag. I explained false flag to people. It's not that the event didn't occur. It's that the people responsible for the event aren't who you think they were. And I remind people of where the term originated, which is in the 18th century in France and Spain and the United Kingdom. England were the large naval powers, and England and France were at war, and England wanted Spain on its side. So it put up the Spanish flag on its ships and attacked France. Therefore, France thought that Spain was the one that attacked it, and it really wasn't Spain, it was England. So I'm very clear to remind people that when you call something a false flag event, it doesn't mean that the event didn't happen. In the case of a school shooting, it doesn't mean that children weren't killed. It means that the actors behind the event aren't who you think. So how does that play into COVID-19?
Essentially, it's also not what you think. So there were people, for example, who died and were ill, but they weren't killed by any new disease or a virus. They were killed by essentially government and healthcare policies that were justified by the, you know, false narrative that there was a new disease and a pathogen creating the deaths, right? So, and it was carried out in different ways in different places, but overall it gave the appearance that there was something significant. They put new categories. They even you know, repurposed other illnesses and conditions to beef up the numbers. Like, for example, they decided to relabel virtually all cases of the seasonal flu as this new scary thing. You know, it's pretty obvious if you look at the details, but most people would never look at the details because they just assume what they're hearing from the talking heads, you know, is true. So those are the main, you know, so who is also, you know, the responsibility for creating this, you know, is falsely attributed because it's kind of attributed to, you know, nature or people being too social with each other, too close to each other, you know, spreading around an imaginary virus instead
Wait,
of the
you
real
mean
cause.
You mean a bat didn't bite a pangolin and then end up in a bowl of soup? That's not what happened? Really?
Well, I don't know. You know, there could have been a soup that someone made as a creative
right?
chef, perhaps. But no, it's, you know, it's simply not how nature works if you observe it. And, you know, this was completely manipulated to bring about a perception of certain things happening in the natural world, but it was all really caused by, like I said, a coordinated information campaign, really.
My friend, and real people died, and many of them, more people were murdered in hospital than died of any virus. My friend David Franson in South Dakota lost his parents within a month of each other, ended up having a double funeral for them, which he never expected how they would meet their end. Both of them killed in hospital with the protocol that he tried to get them to not use. My partner in MAGA Institute, Brooke McGowan, her father was murdered in hospital, even though she was standing there face to face with the physician, showing him the studies. He refused to even look at them. Fortunately, he didn't use remdesivir. He did follow her wishes regarding remdesivir, which is a deadly toxin. So deadly, they had to ethically stop the trials of using it to treat Ebola because it was killing too many Ebola patients, of all things. But they did kill him with the ventilator protocol and the massive central nervous system depressing medications. You know, they put these people on enough tranquilizers to kill a horse, and then they wonder why their lungs stop working. This has been coordinated. It was pre-planned. It was all war gamed out. It was ready to go. And too many physicians, too many treating physicians are simply following the computer program, aren't they?
Well, of course they are. I mean, that's the only way to really keep their job, but they actually did additional things. So there were some whistleblowers at some of the most prominent hospitals where a lot of these, you know, really, I think calling them killings is appropriate, were going on. And they brought in unqualified doctors because what happened was, since I was a licensed physician at the beginning of this pandemic, I actually got like emergency text messages, and these said, you know, please, we need doctors to come help. Even if you're not licensed any longer, we'll reinstate you and give you special permission to come help. And so these people went down to like New York City, where the population centers. And so it was described that they were like dentists or trainees, you know, unqualified people who are now managing ventilator patients in an ICU setting. Now, that's a very, very specialized and difficult area of medicine to manage. And, you know, normally what happens is that you don't put a patient on a ventilator until they can't breathe on their own. But in this case, they were using drugs, as you mentioned, to stop their breathing so that they wouldn't fight the ventilator, because they just declared from the beginning that ventilators are needed to treat people, you know, who don't even have pneumonia, probably clinically, because they're breathing fine on their own or just struggling a little bit and could use a little oxygen and some hydration, probably. But
yeah, but you see, there wasn't a government spiff for a vitamin C infusion and some Ringer's lactate or some regular normal saline.
That's right.
It was all about that government spiff. Yep. Let's dig into that after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
What brings you here?
News entirely.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Pouring rain continued Wednesday along California's central coast as the storm-ravaged state braces for another round of lashing rains and damaging winds. A 14-month-old baby was among three people led to their deaths by migrant smugglers after a boat sank off the Italian island of Lampedusa. A government minister from the Green Party has declared that Ireland must prepare to grant asylum to migrants supposedly fleeing from the effects of climate change.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Speaking with Dr. Andrew Kaufman, you can go to his website, andrewkaufman.com. That's Andrew, KAUFMANMD.com. His Instagram and Twitter handles are the same, Andrew Kaufman, MD. Dr. Kaufman, in your clinical experience, have you ever seen a situation where the government provided so much money for specific diagnoses or a specific diagnosis and mandated treatment options?
Yeah, well, this is a, I want to say that there are some precedents that allowed the magnitude of what happened in the last few years to occur, where they have incentivized things like, for example, dialysis is one of those things that when it was approved, it essentially created the specialty of nephrology to manage dialysis patients. But in this case, there was so much economic opportunity, and one of the incentives was, and by the way, hospitals already saw a 10 times as much revenue when one of their patients dies as when they go home healthy, and that was pre-pandemic. So they were already primed to certain predilections in order to maximize their revenue stream, but the incentives offered through the CARES Act and other programs from the federal government to incentivize and subsidize massive wealth transfer to the hospitals. And this was, remember, after they shut down everyone, they essentially put the hospitals into an economic danger situation because they had to cancel all their ambulatory surgery. And that is the biggest source of revenue pre-pandemic. So after doing that and hospitals actually laying off workers, then to come in and approve this legislation where they incentivized testing every single person to give them a fake diagnosis of COVID, and then that leads them down a sequential pathway that can make more than $100,000 for the hospital per person if that person ends up on a ventilator and dies.
And what's cruel, and it really was cruel, is I mentioned my partner Brooke McGowan and MAGA Institute. We have the MAGA Institute podcast, but because of how Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City murdered her father right in front of her eyes, and it was murder, we started the Do No Harm podcast as well. It's an adjunct podcast for provide a platform for people to tell their stories. And it's amazing how many stories we're hearing, Dr. Kaufman, that all say they said that my loved one was going to come home in a day or two. Brooke's father was supposed to be released that afternoon. And they all, they suddenly took a turn for the worst. And then 5 days later, they're dead. It's that false hope of you're fine, you're recovering, you're going home. And then the sudden turn of events, which mandate this protocol needs to be used now, and that ends up killing them. I think that's the most inhumane aspect of all of this.
Yeah, well, it's extremely cruel, and you know, it's amazing that the people on the inside who were carrying this out, you know, some of them knew exactly what they were doing, and they didn't stand up and speak out the way that they should have, and it's really a horrible tragedy, and essentially this was what really allowed them to portray, you know, that there was real consequences, you know, from COVID-19. They just wanted to be portrayed as it's from, you know, a disease from nature rather than from murder, as we have explained. And then once that was established, they essentially were able to transition from not having to worry about that too much, because now people were dying from the vaccines once they were allowed to come on the market, which was, you know, in record time, to the detriment of everyone. And we see this ongoing at the present time with all of the sudden deaths and various other maladies and causes of death that we can all, you know, occurred out of the blue and are listed officially as unexplained deaths in many places.
Yeah, suddenly is not the leading cause of death. There was a brilliant... You know, remember back when Saturday Night Live was actually funny? I saw a spoof video this week that was worthy of Saturday Night Live back in the mid-80s, early 90s. And it talks, ironically enough, it's the Kauffman Center of Coincidence. Have you seen the ad?
That's from Saturday Night Live?
No. It was worthy of Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live would never run something like this. But whoever made the ad, it's hysterical. It's the Kauffman Center. Yeah, the Kauffman Center for Coincidence. When you're experiencing a medical coincidence, walking too briskly, they actually want us to believe that a United States Air Force Academy cadet died because he was walking too briskly across campus to get to class. I mean, this is the level of insanity. And they say it with a straight face, and they look at you like you're crazy if you call them out on their BS. And
well, this is,
and that's
this is
really getting
good.
Back into the psychosis aspect of it.
Yeah, it's how good the psychological programming is that something that's such an obvious, ridiculous explanation like that can actually pass muster.
And
it's almost as if the brainwashing, you know, principle is kind of joking around and laughing at how successful they were by, you know, taunting their subject with information like that.
I keep saying on Facebook, they're just punking us now. I mean, Joe Biden comes out and says that the scamdemic is over, and then just renews the quote unquote emergency for another 90 days for the 11th time. Right. Because
well, you know,
without the emergency, they don't have a jab. Without the jab, they don't have their money.
Not just the jab. They don't have any tests. They don't have masks. They don't have anything. Yep. They're all emergency.
Well, they also don't have their liability shield any longer.
Well, they wouldn't even be legal to have those products on the market. So there would be no need for liability shield. But you're right.
Well,
that is... The other half of
the
financial incentives from the hospital is the waiver of liability. If they followed the NIH protocol using remdesivir and the ventilator, for example, the most toxic therapies, they would be completely shielded from liability because of the NIH's umbrella emergency policy.
Right, but once the emergency goes away, so does that liability.
Yes, they would have to.
So it's a liability shield.
Remdesivir and the jab and these things would be taken off the market. They would be no longer legal to sell if there was no emergency.
Yeah. But they could still use the ventilator.
That's why they'll never end it. They'll continue the emergency forever. Indefinitely.
My prediction, we're going to have a different kind of virus coming, probably along about March or April. March or April will be a completely different virus justifying a continuation of the quote-unquote emergency.
Well, I think that's quite likely, and that illustrates actually why the central work that I've done is so important, which is to show that they've never actually shown the existence of any viruses that cause disease. and that they've really run this as a program to manipulate us and build up the vaccine industry, which is the primary market opportunity and obviously the primary tool that they're currently using to manipulate and you know, cull the herd, so to speak.
And they really are. I mean, there's literally no justification for injecting any child under the age of 18 because there it's statistically a 0.000 risk of dying from COVID-19. And yet now they're saying that infants need to be, as part of the standard inoculation program, they need to be jabbed with mRNA.
Yes, of course. I mean, the goal is to get everyone injected, and whatever actually is in the vial that anyone might agree to experiment with themselves on. But this has been true with all vaccines. There's never been any properly done scientific study that has shown that a vaccine can prevent any illness. And that's because it doesn't address the actual causes of illnesses. It's just chasing these, you know, fake entities that have never, they've been made up by models and you know, pieces of cell culture experiments in a laboratory, but they don't really exist in nature. And the whole thing is really a sham. It is the ultimate false flag at the root level, that keeps you from actually knowing how to be healthy. And so they're going to exploit this over and over again, because we've seen many attempts to get at the level that COVID achieved, right, through things like Zika, SARS-1,
MERS,
you know, various swine flu, bird flu, right, MERS, all these different things, Ebola, dengue fever, right? There have been so many of these things that have come, and they've tried to raise, you know, crazy warnings and make things happen. And this time they've been really successful, but they're going to keep doing this, right? They're even doing it now to disrupt the food supply chains from, you know, eating a certain meat animals. Like when
they just killed 45,000 turkeys right before Thanksgiving,
exactly.
Allegedly because of a flu outbreak, but there was no evidence of a flu outbreak. But do you think that really holds even for vaccines like smallpox vaccine and polio vaccine? They didn't stop those diseases?
Absolutely not. So actually, if you look carefully just at the timeline of when the polio vaccine actually came on the market and when polio started to disappear, you see that it disappeared before there was a vaccine available. And, you know, polio is really easy to see because there was first the Salk vaccine, which was too poisonous to keep on the market. It caused polio or paralysis.
Yeah, because it was an attenuated, right? That was an attenuated virus.
It was a toxic stew of a cell culture. And they, you know, so it was poisonous enough to cause paralysis. And so it was taken off the market. So in other words, there was a delay until the Sabin vaccine came out, and you could see that the polio cases just dropped off the face of the earth before the Sabin was adopted. And you can see this, by the way, for every vaccine, that the illness, if you look at the time when the illness went away and when the vaccine was even invented, but you know, realize that when it's invented, there's a delay because it has to be approved.
Not anymore, right? We don't need to do any of that messy approval anymore.
It never happened like this before, that something happened that fast. Like with the chickenpox vaccine, it took something like 5 years to get up to more than half of kids being vaccinated with it, right? So it takes time. But
yeah, we had chickenpox vaccine. We went over to play at my friend Tom Anderson's house. Tom had chickenpox, and so they didn't call them play dates. You just went over to a friend's house to play. And we all went over to Tom's house and we all got chicken pox, and then we don't have to worry about chicken pox anymore. That was the vaccine program back then.
Yeah. Well, also, I think people knew from just a wisdom of observation that you were healthier if you had the chicken pox.
Yeah.
And that's been shown.
I had my children out playing in the dirt because that's the healthiest thing you can do is go play in the dirt when you're a little kid. Challenge your immune system. Make it respond.
Yeah, well, you know, we are part of nature. So interacting with nature is the obvious thing that will, you know, lead to and support our health. And so I couldn't agree more with that. But, you know, with polio, I just want to mention that we actually know what really was the cause of the horrible paralysis that children got every summer that was called polio. And it was from two chemicals, which one was used first during the first wave of polio, and then it was switched to a different one. And children ate this and were exposed to it on purpose every summer. And it was originally lead arsenate, the pesticide used to treat the gypsy moth. And then later on, it became DDT. And we've all seen photos of children running around behind trucks spraying DDT to kill mosquitoes who are dangerous because they spread imaginary illnesses. And then the DDT caused all of this paralysis and neurologic disease. And when they stopped using those toxic chemicals, polio went away. It's quite simple.
That's fantastic information. Thank you. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
It's becoming apparent that if you want a job in the Biden administration, there are certain characteristics that could move you to the top of the list. The latest example is Gigi Sohn. She was nominated by Biden to sit on the FCC last February, but that nomination never went to the floor due to controversy surrounding her past. Fox News reports that she has donated roughly $30,000 to Democrats over the last two decades. She ripped conservative networks like Fox News, and some felt she may have had conflicts of interest. And Sohn ridiculed Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh as an angry white man during his confirmation hearings. But Sohn is back, having been renominated for the same FCC position. And now we find out that in 2020, she retweeted a tweet attacking President Trump as a white supremacist. The tweet added that Trump would rather kill everybody than make progress on racial justice issues. So Sohn appears to have problems with white men. It's called racism. But combine that quality with the most important qualification you can have. The White House has touted that she would be the first openly LGBTQ+ FCC commissioner. And there you go. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
Billionaire globalist corporations will own everything. Homes, factories, farms, cars, furniture, and everyday citizens will rent what they need, if their social credit score allows. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
Talking with my fellow Syracusan, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. He's giving us some very interesting information on disease theory and vaccination. Dr. Kaufman, I also see that you are an inventor of a medical device. I used to work with medical devices, and I'm very interested to learn about the device that you invented. Can you tell us briefly about it?
Yeah, sure. Gosh, it's been a while since I talked about this, but I was a forensic psychiatrist professionally earlier in my career, and realized that tragically, many people carry out suicides in jails and in hospitals, like even medical hospitals, as well as psychiatric hospitals. And they have these really invasive and unpopular way of trying to prevent that. That's not very successful, where they have someone watching you 24/7. And it's very invasive. Even when you go to the bathroom, they have to observe you, and employees hate it, and people hate being watched. And in jails, they take away all your freedoms. Like, you're not even allowed to wear your eyeglasses or read a book if you're on suicide watch. And so the idea was to have a simple device that can detect suicide attempts. And you could be monitored with like a remote device, you know, I mean, kind of like an ankle bracelet, except it was just a little sticker that would go behind your ear, and it just monitors your pulse. And if your pulse decreases because of trying to strangulate yourself, for example, which is the most common way, then it would just set off an alarm and someone could come and rescue you or assess you. So that was the medical device, and it was based on the same technology as a pulse oximeter, which is called plethysmography.
Interesting. So basically just using telemetry.
Pretty much, yes. It would, connect to a wireless network where it would be monitored, at some central site, just like they would monitor people's heart rhythms in a hospital with telemetry.
You know, something tells me, though, that if Jeffrey Epstein had been fitted with one of your monitors, that router was a little wonky that night.
Well, it was very laughable to hear about how that was portrayed in the news media because, knowing exactly how things work in a jail with suicide, because everybody is paranoid about the liability of suicide. And when they have a high profile person in there, they would, of course, take every precaution. They would isolate someone like that on their, on their own unit, even in a facility where I worked. So I knew, something was clearly not honest about what they were saying happened.
I mean, I think everybody knew that the whole thing was absurd on its face. In fact, the jokes wrote themselves, right? People were posing. Yes. Putting up their Christmas lights and saying, because these, like Jeffrey Epstein, these Christmas lights won't hang themselves. And I mean, it's become a meme. It's such a ludicrous story. And yet in this, let's get back into the psychology a little bit with the mass formation, the propaganda, the powers that be spew these lies that are ludicrous on their face. A child could see through them, which maybe that's why we have the fairy tale about the emperor's new clothes, right? It was a child that said, but he's naked.
That's right.
Anti-science, anti-logic, anti-common sense lies. They say them with a straight face, and they expect you to just believe them.
That's right.
And what amazed me, I tell people, if you think that we live in a nation of rebels, you've got another thing coming. If you want to know why East Germany was able to control its population with so few Stasi agents, it's because everybody was signed up to snitch on their neighbor. And that's exactly what we saw over the last 3 years. The docility, the compliance, the embrace of anti-logical positions. These are people who like to think that they're smarter than everyone else because they were credentialed at an Ivy League university. And they happen to have a big paying job because they're in finance. Hectoring other people with actual, like myself, with actual science degrees and trying to push these narratives which don't even make any sense, and they get all pretzeled up trying to explain it. And it all boils down to one thing. They'll end up saying, well, just do it. It's for the common good. It's like, thanks, comrade. Thanks, commie. Next.
Well, that's exactly, where it's headed. And you know that how critical it is to be able to have people stand up tout their illogical conclusions, right? Remember from 1984, 2 + 2 = 5, right? It's, you need to have the citizenry stand up for false information, illogical information, because then you can essentially manipulate them in any way possible. And the logic, of course, behind that is related to the identity of collectivism or the philosophy of collectivism. Whereas, now it's the importance of the group. The undefined group is more important than your individual welfare. So, you shouldn't consider not wearing a mask because you have to protect someone else, right? You have to protect grandma by what you do instead of worrying about
yourself. Well, which is exactly why the catchphrase was, we're all in this together. Everywhere you looked, it was, we're all in this together.
That's right. And that is the exact underlying idea that is behind every totalitarian state that has existed in the modern era. You know, not talking about the where you have a king, a monarchy, or a dictatorship, but all of the communist and fascist states of the modern era all were based on this collectivist philosophy, and that's how they justified the policies of self-sacrifice and giving up of freedoms, which is exactly what we've seen.
And really, as much as it grieves me to say this, because I love my country, I'm not so crazy about the government, America has devolved into a fascistic state. I mean, fascism is, the definition of fascism is total government control of privately owned companies. And that's exactly what we've seen. We've seen CIA, former CIA, NSA, DOD employees now working at the social media companies, FBI actively directing censorship activities at private social media companies. It's hard to argue that we're not a fascistic country now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, thank you for being aware that fascism is really an economic theory. And, you know, really the biggest globalist buzzwords that you hear, right? And you hear public-private partnership. Well, that means a fascism right there.
Right.
And that's right. Exactly what you have. So you have it more openly promoted now, but you've had the revolving door between government regulator and, executive in industry so that they can come serve a term, make sure to make the rules benefit the company that they're going to go back and work for and get big bonuses upon their return. And that's how it works, of course, and that is fascism, and it's going to lead to totalitarian control of the population if it's left unchecked and to continue.
Well, that's why it's so important that we've got people like you with the proper scientific and medical training to get out there and to educate people the way you have. Folks, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, MD.com is how you can find out more about natural health solutions. And also follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Andrew Kaufman, MD. You're going to get a major dose of truth and some eye-opening new information like we received here tonight, for example, regarding the polio vaccine. Andrew, I've really enjoyed this conversation. You're a fascinating guy. I'd love to get together with you offline, maybe up at Phoebe's for a burger or Coleman's for some shepherd's pie.
Now, are you really in Syracuse?
Oh, I'm in Cazenovia.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have to really do that then.
Yeah, no, I would really enjoy that. Yeah, it takes an Australian radio station to put two Syracusans together, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so let's go Orange. Good luck to you in all your endeavors. You're welcome back on The Reckoning anytime. Folks, I strongly suggest you follow Dr. Kaufman. You might agree with him, you might not agree with him, but you're definitely going to be exposed to some new information and some new ways of looking at things, and that's never a bad thing. That's a wrap for tonight's show. I want to thank Dr. Kaufman for coming on. I want to thank you for listening. Without you listening, this show would really have no purpose. This isn't about me talking. It's about us sharing information, sharing ideas. Get on the soapbox. Go to tntradio.live. Give us some feedback. There's a show page as well. Look for The Reckoning, and there's a comment box. Love to hear from you. If there's anything you'd like us to be talking about, let us know. If you disagree with something, let us know. If you want more information, let us know. This is supposed to be a two-way conversation as much as possible. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.